this final chapter of my book, I will share my personal story that brings to life my dream of the day. We share the belief that a picture is worth a thousand words. We created an image bringing together two cartoon characters, one well-known to Israelis and the other famous among Palestinians. The Palestinian character, Hamdallah, holds hands with the Israeli cartoon character, Srula. Spray painting Hamdallah and Srula holding hands on the separation fence, wish to express our hope that the Israeli and Palestinian people may begin to understand one another, and that this understanding will lead to peace. When that is achieved, perhaps the image of Hamdallah and Srula holding hands will become a symbol for coexistence. Our dream is that these two beloved characters, both created by artists who knew persecution and exile, can help bridge the deep gaps between Jews and Arabs in our scarred promised land.
Hi, everybody. Eve Harrow, Rejuvenation on the Land of Israel Network. You just listened to a recording of a book launch from a snazzy little restaurant in the center of town called Tmol Shilshom, the book launch of journalist and author Gil Zohar of his series of books called Voices from Israel. And guess what, everybody? Guess who I've got on the line right now? Oh, yeah. The very same Gil Zohar, whom I met when we were in the tour guide course together. And Gil was born in Toronto. He is a journalist. He writes for the Jerusalem Post, School of Magazine, other publications, and is a tour guide not just here in Israel, but in other parts of the Middle East as well, and has now written a series of books about Israel called Voices from Israel. So, Gil, thanks for joining me.
My pleasure.
In the morning, and I know that you're a night owl because also that's how your journalistic stuff goes in the middle of the night. So I appreciate you getting up for this interview. So tell me about the books, Voices of it. I mean, you're definitely qualified to write this book, these books, and I'll just read maybe to the to my listeners. It's a series of books: culture, custom, and celebrations in Israel, Israel and the Arab world, the experience of Israel, sites and cities, Israel, Holy Land to Many, Americans in the Holy Land, and Israel, Stories of Conflict and Resolution, Love and Death. So you've taken a topic that centuries of books have been written about and will continue to be written about and try to get it down into six small books. Like, you know, what was your thinking behind here? How did this roll?
Well, first of all, there are 10 in the series.
Okay.
Four of them are for primary school students. These six are for high school students in the English-speaking world. So in the United States, but in Canada, Australia, and Britain, and wherever. And I just got a fan mail from Singapore. I was very flattered.
Oh, cool. So wherever English is spoken, huh?
Wherever English is spoken.
Okay.
I've got some very nice reviews that really say that these books are balance, that they're not pro-Israel, they're not pro-Palestinian. They're an attempt to explain to some kid in Iowa, you know, somebody who never met a Jew or never met a Muslim, what's going on here in this conflict in what we can call Israel, Palestine, the Holy Land.
So let me then ask you, as a journalist, is there really such thing as anything that's balanced? You know, you are an Israeli, you're a Jew, you're an Israeli Jew, you're living here. The first thing that somebody's going to say to you is, oh, come on. You know, you're obviously giving it from the perspective of an Israeli. You're making it sound positive. You're not talking about genocide, occupation, like all the, you know, things that the world is being told is going on here. So how would you answer that?
Look, if you read these books very carefully, you'll see this is 100% pro-Israel. But having said that, I don't call it occupied, the West Bank. I don't call it liberated. I call it disputed.
Right.
You know, so this is an attempt to show balance. I interviewed Palestinians. For example, one family's had their house demolished. They don't have a building permit, mind you, 7 times.
Mm-hmm.
I write about that. But then I write about another friend of mine, Haji Ibrahim Abu Halwa, who has a building permit on a piece of land that he owns that's registered in the land registry. And he got a building permit to build 2 floors and proceeds to build 4 floors.
Right.
One day, the building inspector for this city comes along and checks that, oh, Mr. Abu Al-Hawa, you've done something illegal. Do you want us to demolish your house for you and give you the bill? And, you know, so by putting these two side by side, there's a subtext that Israel isn't necessarily the bad guy here.
Mm-hmm.
People are just illegal, unlawful. And I have to say, yesterday, walking along my street, I live in downtown Jerusalem in the a very quaint neighborhood. It's a bit like Greenwich Village. It's called Nachalat Shiva. It dates from 1869. And yesterday I'm walking along and I see a big crew with a lot of photographers, and they're proceeding to demolish an illegal structure owned by a Jewish gentleman who just put it up without a building permit. And, that's the way it is. But that isn't the story. It's only
Right.
when Israel demolishes Palestinian structures that it gets any news. Not when some businessman goes and steals public space, puts up a structure illegally, and and sells stuff.
Well, I mean, if you really want to go out on the extreme, we now have a former prime minister going to jail in Israel because he gave permission to put up buildings where they shouldn't have been put up in Jerusalem.
Yeah, well,
So when
indeed.
it comes to Jews following the law here in Israel, we have to follow the law, and if we break it, it's that, like you just said, a house is torn down or somebody has to pay. But yet there's a spin when Arabs do the same thing, that if Israel takes down a house, oh, it wasn't because he built it illegally, it's political and it's anti-Arab, and
Yes.
that becomes the narrative where these things get confused. Not everything here is political. Sometimes people breaking the law have to pay, no matter if
Yes.
they're Arabs or Jews.
Yes.
So you say these books are mainly for high school students, and I encourage people to get a hold of these books, because even if they are for high school students, they're kind of like Israel made easy. Like in one page, you try
Well,
and
Eve, it's
synopsize
no
something.
secret for those of you who know me like you do. This is a much of this is a rehash of Jerusalem Post articles. So they
Right.
were written for adults, but they've been dumbed down a little for teenagers. They took out the longer syllabic words and used simpler language. But I think it's quite sophisticated.
Well, I would
I
hope that high school
think
students
my mother
know how
likes
to.
it. That's a high bar.
Your mother? That's great. That's what we always have to run that by. So, did someone commission you to write these books? Was this your initiative?
Yeah, so I don't work on spec. You and I were on the same freelancer. I was
Oh,
always on the
yeah.
hustle to find somebody who will pay you to do our passion. And I found this on the internet. This is a company based in, it's called Mitchell Lane Publishers, based in Delaware. And they've done a series on Germany. And now they said, oh, you're a really good writer. And I said, look, if you're going to do a series about Israel, you really have to mention the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. She says, oh, that's a good idea. And then I said, well, if you're going to be writing for a primarily American audience, you really should discuss Americans in Israel. For example, Israeli Prime Minister Golda Meir was born in Tsarist Russia, but grew up in Milwaukee. There's a Golda Meir school in Milwaukee. And, for the average person, this isn't public information. The USS Constitution, Old Ironsides, docked in Jaffa, and the sailors went, they were the first, what we can call white people, to sail down the Jordan River, to map the Jordan River. The Americans have a long story here. There were two American colonies. This has nothing to do with Zionism, proto-Zionism, if you wish. But they're Christians who came from Jonesport, Maine, and from Chicago to establish settlements in 19th century Palestine.
No, that was a fascinating book. I also like Culture, Customs, and Celebrations in Israel. I'll just read a little bit from the back. How is it that many people carry guns and serve in the army, yet gun crimes are nearly non-existent in Israel? Why do some people go to the beach on Saturday while others head off to synagogue? How do you revive a dead language? What holidays do Israelis celebrate? Clothes wear, what do they eat? Is Israel a Jewish state or a country with many Jewish citizens? And I think a lot of people get a little bit of information about Israel, like from one particular viewpoint, and don't realize how multicultural the country is. Is that what you would call it that way? Multicultural to some degree,
Yes.
even though it's a
Yeah.
Jewish culture, it's a multi-Jewish culture, right?
Israel's a Western country, as France is a Western country, but it's a Jewish country, but it has many different flavors.
Literally, right. We
Not
love the
all Jewish
food.
flavors, I might add.
Right, right.
We have to be honest. We have to portray Israel the way it is. Readers want to know, and if you try to sugarcoat it and you misrepresent things, you'll simply lose your credibility.
Well, in the book that you have, Israel, Holy Land to Many, Again, for billions of religious believers, Jews, Christians, and Muslims, Israel is the Holy Land. Millions of followers of less well-known faiths, Samaritans, Jews, and Baha'i, also revere the land of Israel. As a matter of fact, the international head of the Baha'i is in Haifa. All right,
yes.
of the Baha'i religion is actually, and they're a break off of Shia Islam, yet their international headquarters is in Haifa and in Israel. So I think many people don't understand that even though we talk about this being a Jewish state, there's freedom of religion here for all. And like Muslims have their own religious courts and, you know, and their own religious weddings and their own ceremonies, something that is sadly becoming very rare in the Middle East in particular. And we're really like this last bastion. But I think I like what you said a few minutes ago that, you know, we are a Western country, but we are in the Middle East. And that's why I think to some degree we are multicultural, because the people coming here have come from all different places. And so the French bring in their Frenchness and the Americans bring in our things. And the, you know, people from the Arab world have brought in their flavors. Did you have a particularly favorite book of the series that you wrote? Was there something that like spoke to you more than another, one topic or one of the books? Tough question, huh?
It is, but I think that the last one that I wrote, Israel Stories of Conflict and Resolution, Love and Death, this is the most poignant. You know, again, I don't want to sugarcoat the reality. There isn't a family here that hasn't had somebody who died in one of Israel's wars or
terrorism.
In terrorism, and this is our reality. And nevertheless, we have to prevail. It was brave of to say, my publisher, you know, yeah, go for it. Go and portray the tough truth. Don't just make it sound like it's, you know, it's a wonderful country. Yes, it's a wonderful country, but it has
it's a real place. Yeah, it's a real place.
It's a real place.
Well, that's what I try and explain to my tourists who come, and I know that you do the same. You know, especially people who love Israel for, let's say, religious reasons. And they come to Israel and they expect everything to be perfect here because I guess a religious place is supposed to be like heaven on earth. And there's that expression, Yerushalayim shel mata and Yerushalayim shel mala, you know, Jerusalem of the heavens, of the sky, and the real rooted Jerusalem, the on-the-ground Jerusalem where there's garbage in the street and not everybody behaves nicely to each other and there's car accidents and there's terrorism. Yet, like as you just said, we prevail. There's something bigger here. So how do you, have done something that I haven't done is in addition to knowing Israel very well, you also know some of the Arab countries in the Middle East. You used to go down to Egypt and to Jordan a lot. Can you tell us a little bit about that, about your experiences in those countries?
Well, let me share with you. I was in Jordan on a winter day in a taxi, cold and rainy, and the clouds parted and the sun came out. And it was just a beautiful vista, the sun shining in the desert. And I said to the driver in Arabic, Asahwe Hilwe Katira, that the desert is very sweet. And he said to me, he put his hand on his heart. He said, sir, I can't charge you. You know, what you said is just so poetic. And, you know, it's not every day where I came from in Toronto, Canada. I never had a taxi driver say, I'm not charging you. You know, it's business. But I think that's what people don't understand here, the cultural richness and the human connection, that people will put down everything and say, no, come and join me for a coffee, you know, right now. You know, I'm busy. Never mind. Come and let's sit and we'll schmooze. And that happens to me all the time and endlessly. So I go to this cafe often in the old city. When we leave the Temple Mount, or what Muslims call the Haram al-Sharif, we go out one of the gates and there's a coffee shop and we sit and we have a Turkish coffee or a mint tea. So I'm sitting there with my mother Joyce, who made Aliyah at the age of 85, and I go to ask for the bill and I introduce to Musa, this is my mother, and he says, oh, I can't charge you. You know, no, that was 5 shekels. But similarly, this happened to me at a restaurant in Tiberias where they don't it's called Dex. I'm sure you know it well.
Oh, yeah. I was just there last week, as a matter of fact.
There, they don't gift, they don't give kickbacks to tour guides. They don't give discounts. So, again, I'm there with my family, and I introduced my family because that's what you do.
Sure.
To the maitre d'. And we say hello. And we order dinner with a bottle of wine. And at the end, it was a lovely dinner. And I asked for the bill. And they say, oh, no, there's no bill. You're family here.
Wow.
And,
that's beautiful.
Well, I thought that was the quintessential Middle Eastern moment. That, you know,
Exactly.
and this happens all the time, especially in the Arab world. You haven't been to a place for a year, and they remember you by name. I call myself in Arabic Saeed, which means happy, which is what Gil means. And oh, Saeed, welcome, welcome back. We haven't seen you in a while. And they give you a kiss. And this happens all the time, and it's genuine, you know. And this is what I want to convey to rejuvenation to your audience, that this isn't a dangerous place. Quite the opposite. This is the Middle East. This is a place where unexpected and welcome things happen constantly.
Constantly.
It's like your show. It's just unscripted. But if you're open to it and you get off your tourist bus and you just go and walk around and talk to people, you'll be amazed how many times they'll invite you into their house. They'll insist, please come and have hospitality with me. Come and have dinner, endlessly. Come and sleep in my house. I had a Bedouin in Petra insist that I stay in his house.
Yeah,
You know, it's.
it's you know what? It's I find it biblical. You know, we read the stories about Abraham and he's
Yes.
sitting outside his tent and three, they look like men. It turns out their angels show up and he immediately runs to prepare them a meal and he gets Sarah
Yes.
in. And we tend to look at that story from the biblical reasons and of course they bless Sarah and she'll have Isaac and we go on and on and on and one of them goes to destroy Sodom. But if you look at it just from the cultural context, that's Middle Eastern hospitality.
Yes.
That's the warmth of the place. And so many of us, or many people that come here who don't live here and don't understand the nuances of the Middle East. So either Jews are bad and Arabs are good, or Arabs are bad and Jews are, or there's something in there, right? Everybody's got to be black and white. And it's not like that. Those of us who live here and interact with each other all the time understand that, you know, what's really going on, that level of coexistence that is happening despite all the
Yes.
political stuff, on a person-to-person level, there is warmth, there is hospitality, there is no need to be afraid. Yeah, look around, you know, be on your guard in general. People have to do that whenever you travel, you know, but if you can open yourself up to it, just like you just said so beautifully, you get some wonderful surprises and
Yes.
the best experiences that you really never expected. You know,
Yes.
and a real glimpse into what it's like here in the Middle East. Very different, I find, from the West, where
Oh,
people are a
yes.
little more afraid of each other. They think Israel's a scary place, but
Yeah.
really, when I go to the West, people
No,
are less
it's
friendly,
the com
right?
it's the com that's why I wrote these books. I
Yeah.
want people to understand that all of their stereotypes are wrong, that
Right.
Israel is safe, that it's friendly, that Arabs are nice people, that
Yeah.
Jews are nice people, that
We shouldn't let the bad people among us define who we are. You
exactly.
know, but it's a trick. But we also have to know when not to trust people who don't deserve our trust.
Well,
That's another
always,
thing.
you
Yeah.
know, as a tour guide, safety first, always.
Right.
But having said that, that gives you a lot of scope.
Sure does. So tell me, have you been to Egypt
Yeah.
recently? I know that you used to go there fairly often to Egypt.
I was there, well, it's a year ago now. That was the last time. I'd love to go. I
Yeah.
really like Egypt.
Yeah. So is
Yeah.
it like hard for you to not be like you don't go now because of the whole situation is a little
Well,
sketchy
no.
or
The truth is, I'm no longer a freelancer exactly. I'm now on staff at the Jerusalem Post, so I don't have the freedom to
to
I
pick
once
up and
spent a
go.
month on a beach, Egypt, and that was really that was special. So, but I can't do that anymore. Now I
Yeah,
have to
that's a
book
shame.
off and get holiday time, and
Right. So
yeah.
a lot of people probably don't know that you also wrote a good chunk of the Fodor's book on, you know, Fodor's Guide to Israel. That's like,
Yeah.
I guess, the classic, the tourist
Yeah,
books
well,
if you're going somewhere. Yeah.
it's a good guide too.
Yeah. The 100 pages of the Guide to Israel. That's a pretty big section of the book.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you find that people find you through there, that they read and they get in touch
Well,
with you?
if you open, I think it's the seventh edition, so at the back page of the book lists the contributors. So the very last line of the book is me. And somebody, a good friend of mine, by the way, all of my clients are my best friends. It's unbelievable. They continue to email me for years. I'm Mr. Israel to them. It's, you know, they're just expressing their love for the country. So this guy, Tom Heller in Oakland, opened the book, and there's a couple of emails, and I'm the only one who bothered to answer him, and he hired me, and we toured around for 2 weeks. We were again in Israel and in Jordan, in Egypt. We're still in touch.
Yeah, I find
So
also that
yeah,
people who
found me
come
through that
here,
book. But I
people who
used to
come here
wonder as a
connect.
freelancer how work came to me. But the truth is, I stopped wondering. Everything is beshert, we say in Yiddish. Everything is from God. Everything is divine providence. And however it comes, it comes. I mean, it comes word of mouth. But it doesn't matter. Let me, by the way, extend to all of your readers. This is a genuine invitation, and it's in one of these books. We have an open house for Shabbat practically every week. And one of the books is dedicated to my wife, Randy, who it says in the dedication, I used to argue with her not to invite more people than we have chairs until I went out and bought more chairs. This is my best marketing tool that I invite people for Shabbat, my clients. I'm not inviting them as clients. I'm inviting them. It's not part of the, you're my guest. Come for Shabbat dinner. And this is something that's very special. Certainly to Christians who, I throw in a little Jesus shtick. Look, this is what Jesus did. He made Kiddush. He might not have sang this tune. He sang a different tune, but these are the very
But he
words.
was a Jewish boy,
And,
yeah, who would have made
and
Shabbat.
for the Jews, unfortunately, many of them, they've never s experienced a real Shabbat. They grew up in somehow in a situation where they were assimilated, their parents were assimilated, their grandparents were assimilated. They simply don't understand. What it means to turn off the TV and turn off the computer and turn off the cell phone and just
B.
experience holy time for 25 hours. Just chill out,
It's the
have a
greatest gift we
snooze,
got. It
talk to
really is.
people, turn off the cell phone and talk to people. So yeah, so all of your
Listeners.
listeners are invited. Please, it's Gil Zohar at rogers.com. You're most welcome, all of you. Anytime, impromptu, there's always room for one or two more.
Yeah, and she's not a bad cookie either, Randy. I want to
Yes,
tell you, all of
that's
you.
true.
That absolutely. So, where can people get the book?
Well, Amazon.com.
Books, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, Amazon.com. Type in GILZOHAR and they pop up.
The Voices from Israel series. I highly recommend it. Really, for, a lot of you who are listening, I assume, have children, and the kids are get tons of information these days, most of it wrong from all kinds of different sources. And if you want to give them a pro-Israel but balanced view of what's going on here, this would be a great place to start. And I'd love
Yeah,
some feedback. Yeah, one more word, Gil?
let me
Sure.
just say, there's 64 pages. About half of it is text, and half are photos and graphics. They're really good photos, many of
Easy.
which I took.
Yeah, and an
And
easy read.
that's partly why it's so inviting. Just to look at these beautiful photos of our breathtakingly beautiful country and its very handsome people is really, really inspiring. I wish Eve, you're one of us.
Thank you, Gil.
I encourage readers again to, well, pick them up, and God willing, you'll join me for Shabbat, and hire Eve because she's a really good tour guide.
Okay, this was not a promo. All right, everybody. I'm so glad you were listening. Gil is just, one of the interesting people that we have here in the land who writes beautifully about what many of us are experiencing, what many of you are experiencing, and really trying to give maybe an unusual look at what's really happening here in the Middle East. But unusual and out of our comfort zone is the reality, and that's the baseline here. This is not an easy place. It's not an easy to understand place, but it is the most fascinating, interesting place with the most fascinating and interesting people, I think, anywhere. I think the place makes the people. I don't know if the people make the place. There's some kind of relationship going on here, though, between the land and the people. So I'd love some feedback, Eve at the Land of Israel. .com. Anyway, thank you so much for listening, everybody. This is Eve Harrell on Rejuvenation. We'll be back next week. Have a great one, everybody. Goodbye.